Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Of power, the spirit of deliverance. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If I was sad, I could say, I feel the spirit of joy filling me, hallelujah, and making me glad. If I was bound and afflicted, I could say, I feel the delivering power of the Holy Ghost setting me apart and picking me up out of the mire and cleaning me up and standing me upon that rock that I cannot be moved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If I was weak, I could say, I feel the power of strength and the power of the Holy Ghost strengthening me and encouraging me. Saints of God, worship Him and praise Him. Hallelujah. He's here and He's here for you. Thank you, Jesus. You are our Savior, our Redeemer, our Deliverer. We love you, Jesus. You know, that could be a truthful statement. When we sing a song as such, He's more beautiful than gold and silver, or the diamonds and all the riches of this world. Brothers and sisters, when you get a taste of the Holy Ghost and you get filled with the mighty power and the presence of a living God, the things of this world don't mean nothing to you. You wouldn't take all of the wealth and riches of this world and trade it for 1 second with God. Amen. Because I'm telling you, that 1 second in God, He could reveal all of the universe to you. Just like that, in a split second, He could just reveal all things to you. Amen. And I wouldn't trade 1 second for everything this world's got. I wouldn't trade my soul for a promise of 1 million years living on this earth with an earthly promise for 1 million years. I would not trade my soul for that, because that's not even a drop in the bucket compared to what He's given me, because He's given me everything that pertains unto life, amen, and granted eternity to me, amen, dwelling and fellowshipping with Him. Hallelujah. That's something to rejoice about, brothers and sisters. Let's sing it again as we praise Him and worship Him. Hallelujah. Just close your eyes and let Him minister to your heart. I feel the power to break yokes. Hallelujah. Just let Him have His way. Amen. You don't always need the preacher to lay hands on you. Sometimes you can just come into the service and you can lift up your hands and say, God, take this burden. Take this yoke. Hallelujah. Take this pain. Take this sorrow. Take this agony, oh God. Hallelujah. Father, fill me with Your Holy Ghost and Your power. Let me walk in Your presence in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. I can feel that rapturing power of God. That catching away power to catch us away into heavenly places. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. You, by the way of the telephones, just lift your hands up. Close your eyes and lift your hands up to the living God. And say, thank You, God, for everything that pertains unto life. Thank You, Lord, for cleaning me and delivering me. Thank You, Lord God, for taking all of my past sins and putting them as far as the east is from the west. I thank You that I'm clean and pure and holy and godly. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord Jesus. We're serving an awesome God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. I hope you can feel the presence of a living God. I feel the power of a living God from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope you're drinking of the same water that I'm drinking of. Hallelujah. I hope that you're drinking of that same wine, that wine of joy. Hallelujah. Today, knowing that you are a blood-bought, born-again child of God. Don't let the devil lie to you and steal that away from you and depress you and come in and try to accuse you. Amen. You just tell him to shut his mouth. Say, I've been purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus, and I'm a child of the living God. Hallelujah. Can you believe that? Hallelujah. Don't let condemnation rob it from you. Don't let doubt and unbelief rob it from you. You know that Jesus inscribed you in the nail prints in His hands. He had you in mind while it was being beaten there. He had you in mind saying, you are my beloved. You are my son in whom I'm well pleased. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Start believing that. Start changing the way you think. Start changing the way you walk. Start changing the way you do. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus. We exalt you, oh God. Hallelujah. We lift you up above all things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We worship you, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I feel like I've been to church. Amen. I feel like I've been to church. I think I could just say, while we're all standing, we'll just dismiss the service. Man, I can go home and feel like I've been cleansed and washed and filled up. Hallelujah. Encouraged. Amen. Are you there, saints? Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. While we're standing together, let's pray. Most gracious Father, I thank you, Lord God, for your word. I thank you for your word that it is true and it's life and the spirit of life. I thank you, Lord God, for granting us life, abundant, eternal, holy, godly. Oh God, I thank you that your hand is not short. Lord God, I thank you that we are not weak and feeble. Oh God, I thank you, Lord God, that we are powerful, Lord God, and mighty men of valor walking through this world and putting the scorpions and the serpents under our feet. Lord God, I thank you, God, that there's nothing, no principality nor power, Lord, that could come against us, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, for the strength and the power and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for divine health. I thank you for healing. I thank you, Lord God, for strength. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God, that you did not make us weak. I thank you that we have all authority and power over all the beggarly elements of this world. I thank you, Lord God, that we can come to a place with you that we can control every thought and can control our mind, Lord God, and don't let it just spin like a top and run wild with all the envy and strife and all of the worldly pleasures of thought. But Lord God, that we could stand in purity, thinking on these things that are virtuous and righteous and holy and godly. Lord God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, God, that you're adding our households, Lord God. You're adding our family members, our friends, our work people, Lord God, because you have filled us with the power and they can see good when good comes and walks in the earth, the spirit of truth and life that dwells within each and every one of us. Have your way within this service, God. We thank you with a great expectation of you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. You can all be seated. I love you all and appreciate you. Okay, let's turn over to 2 Corinthians. Let's go over to about the 7. It says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let me read that again. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Now, you think about that. You know, I remember ministering to you not long back. I'll probably read on a little more. But I remember ministering to you about where it says presenting our body, soul, and spirit holy, blameless. The Bible even talks about dressing according to holiness. You know, and so oftentimes people, they think that there is a spiritual work that's going to be done in your life. And they don't think that it's going to have to do anything other than that. You know, that it's just some kind of invisible spiritual thing. And it's, you know, praise God, I've accepted this. Praise God, I see this, or praise God that. But you know, the thing is, the manifestation of the spiritual realm is not for us because we are spiritual. The manifestation of the spiritual realm is for them that don't have eyes to see. I remember saying this so oftentimes. Stephanie was talking with me today and reminded me of this, that I say so oftentimes, that I say from the sacred desk, I said, I don't live a godly, overcoming life for my salvation. You see, that's a lot of people are struggling to live right for they can have salvation. They'll never, don't come that way. It doesn't work that way. In the Pentecostal churches, they're teaching you, well, if you clean up your life and do right, you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. You'll never clean up your life without the Holy Ghost. It's impossible. And they teach like, well, you got to get right, and you got to do this, and then all of a sudden you can get this infilling of the Holy Ghost. Don't work that way, brothers and sisters. It don't work that way. When those people come along, the apostles there, they preach the doctrine and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said that the Holy Ghost came to them and it filled them with the Holy Ghost. And it said, would any forbid these water? What kind of knowledge did they have when all of a sudden the Holy Ghost was granted unto them? What kind of knowledge, what kind of understanding could they have had? You know, they didn't have no understanding. You know, they were probably within the letter of the law and been indoctrinated in the same thing that Paul numbered as dung. That's what they were indoctrinated in. Some of them, you know, were in John's baptism. And they did hear the message as the forerunner from John the Baptist, yes. But the thing is, brothers and sisters, is so oftentimes we get things so out of whack. I'm not living a godly life or perfecting holiness in my life for my salvation. I'm not bringing forth fruit for my salvation. I'm not bringing forth those things. Those things are coming forth from me because I am salvation. Because I'm bone and flesh of the Lord Jesus. I do good
that others could see Christ.
That's the only way they're going to know God. We say, well, you know, I got the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I listened to Brother Pike's tape 47 times. You know, I read his book 35 times. You know, I listened to this tape. Man, I've got the revelation of the Lord. That's not revelation. That's knowledge. And sometimes it puffs you up and it causes you, in the end of the matter, you're in worse condition. You read Brother Pike's books or listen to his tapes, the only thing they're going to do to you is bring judgment to you. And it'll be the very things to condemn you into eternal damnation. Well, what are you saying? Should we not read them? Should we not listen to them? Not through the concept of trying to gain some intellectual concept or thought. You listen to them by the Spirit. They have to be spiritually discerned. You've got to listen to them by the Spirit of God and let the same Spirit that spoke that message come and dwell within you and quicken you to bring you into the mind. So oftentimes we think that we're going to listen to a preacher and we're going to memorize what he said. That makes us have that mind. No, it isn't that way. You could take and memorize a chapter in a flight magazine and you could memorize a chapter and you could talk to a pilot and think, wow, you got a pretty good understanding. You know, you could start talking in a pilot's lingo. You could start talking about airways. You could start talking about vectors and radials and altitudes. You could start talking about all these things. Say, hey, they're pretty good understanding. But you get a guy in an airplane, don't know what any of that means. And there's a lot of times people are talking about things they don't have no idea what they're talking about. They don't know good when good comes. See, I wouldn't discourage anybody from listening or from reading books that were inspired and God-breathed. Brother Pike's books were encouraged and God-breathed by the same Spirit that we find these writings right here in the Bible. It says write them and put them in a book and send them to the churches. Those are the same thing. It's the Spirit of the Word. But we memorize it or say, well, this is it. We turn it into a letter of a law. What do we got? You see, we got to find the Spirit of it and be led by the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. So what is the Spirit of those things written in the book? Are these ABCs and 1-2-3s in a book that we have to apply? Or is he using examples, just as the Bible said, the Old Testament is an example? And are we looking at these things as examples of dealing maybe with personalities and things? You see, that we could look at it and say, well, this is the spirit of the matter. This is why we have a move. This is why we have our reign. This is why we have. Because we understand it by the Spirit. And then when you understand it and you receive the Spirit of it, it makes you led by the Spirit and walking in the Spirit and not some kind of an intellectual concept. Because the thing is, when we take it to the letter of the law or we take it to that way, we will find ourselves moving by the Word but not the Spirit of the Word. There's a big difference because the letter of the Word killeth. You know, if we're going to go with the letter of the Word, then we should all move to Carmel in the perspective of the go there and there will be provisions at the brook for us. You see what I'm saying? Hey, wasn't that the Word? Didn't the Word command them to go there? Isn't that where God was at? But we could receive a commandment from the Lord as a present day truth. And we could move in that and be led by that and walk in that. But you see, another Word comes from God. And when that Word comes from God, the previous Word is then dead. Do you realize that? That Word is dead now. You see, and the thing is usually before another word comes to make the other part of the word dead, the other part of the word was already fulfilled. Do you realize that? There would be a fulfillment of the word. I was talking with Brother George last night about this very thing. I said, I hear these people say, man, God told me to do thus and thus. God told me that, you know, this is what I'm supposed to do, man. I had a dream, I had a vision, I had a prophecy. You know, I was in a trance, man. I was in prayer, whatever it is. This is what God told me to do. You think, well, praise God. I don't have no reason to challenge him or question him. If that's what God tells a man to do, he needs to go and do it. But then when I see him again, if it's a week, a month, or 5 years down the road, oh man, I heard from the Lord, praise God, thus, and thus. Man, I've got to do this, and this. And I always look back and I say, well, what about that last word? But see, what I'm saying here now is I'm saying there's another word that comes and makes the last one dead. But the last one, if it's not fulfilled, it isn't dead. Let me tell you, the Lord will deal with your heart about things. He'll come and deal with you and say, this is something that you need to overcome. I've exposed it to you. I've showed it. Now it would be imputed to you as sin because you have a knowledge of it. This in your life is something that's wrong. It's something that's there. It's something that you're going to have to overcome. God deals with saints like that, brothers and sisters. I know for a fact because he deals with me that way, saying, look, brother, this is something you got to deal with. And when he gives that to me, that is the word of God. He said, here it is. And I look at it and say, but I kind of like this in my life. I'm going to go around that.
It don't work. Well, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to work on this next thing down here. I remember sharing with you, if you looked at this stairway to heaven, you might say, and you read on this tread anger, you read on this one jealousy and envy or strife and all these things, and you think, well, I kind of like this anger one. It makes me feel powerful, man, when I get angry with people. Man, I could put them in their place. I like that one, so I'm going to deal with the next one. Don't work that way. You are dead in the water, so to speak. You ain't going nowhere with God. When God shows you something and deals with you, that is right there, the Word of God, it's Spirit to you, and that's what you deal with, and He'll give you the strength to do it. Where are we weak? Where are we, brothers and sisters, in the Word of God weak that we cannot overcome anything? I don't know where it's at. I don't know what I can overcome. I don't know what could be laid to my charge. Brothers and sisters, I'm the elect of God. Now back to the thought, and we'll read some more scripture here in just a moment. But if I am not producing fruits of holiness and godliness and righteousness and virtue for my salvation, then why would I do that? You see, brothers and sisters, I'm dealing with people of this world. Now let's talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said He condescended to men of a less estate. Where did He come from? We say from heaven. Okay, and when He came here, He walked an overcoming life, not for He could be saved, not for He could have salvation, not for He could have power. He was power. He was salvation. Now, He didn't come along to people and say, look, I'm God. Bow down and worship me because I'm God. I created all things. I spoke this, everything that you see, natural, physical, spiritual, everything invisible, every principality, every power. I spoke those things into existence. He didn't do that, did He? Now, think about His Word. He didn't do that. He came in humility. He came as the least. He said, I came to minister to you, not you to minister to me. I didn't come here for you to wash my feet. I came here to wash your feet. He came as an example, doing good. And this is what He did to show God. When you have to go to people and say, look at me, bless God, I've got the revelation. I'm the one with the understanding. You're ignorant, you're dumb, you're no good. That's not how Jesus done it, so why would we do that if He's the firstborn of many brethren? Why would we think that we got to impress somebody with what we think we know when we know nothing whatsoever at all, when we think we know something? But brothers and sisters, you know what makes power and strength in the spoken word? Is when there is a lifestyle behind it. Do you realize that when you live an overcoming life and you walk in holiness and virtue and righteousness and you keep yourself unspotted from the things of this world, that when you speak, the virtue that was in the Lord Jesus Christ is dwelling within you, and it's the virtue that healed the woman, and it's the virtue that moves people today, and without no virtue there, then it's just a tingling cymbal. That's it. You know why people get shipwrecked in their faith and they fall on their face? It's because when they go speak and they expect people to move, they expect people to melt, they expect people to submit, they expect people to listen, but there's no virtue in their life and it don't happen, and then they get weary in well-doing and they find their faith shipwrecked because there's no virtue in their life. There's no standards of godliness and holiness and virtue in their life. When those things are there, then their word has power. Your word has strength. Brothers and sisters, when I say your word, you are one in the word and one with the word. And when you speak by the spirit of the word, it's the same spirit that dwelt within Christ Jesus. And that word does not come back void or none effect. There is a strength and a power in the spoken word. So what we do is we live a godly life that when we speak, that there's a strength and a power within the word. You see, Jesus walked before them and He brought the manifestation of the invisible God into a manifestation that man could see. This is why He changed His course when Peter recognized who He was. When Peter recognized Him, he said, who does men send Him? And Peter spoke that. He said, this wasn't revealed from man. He could have said, hey, Peter, I didn't tell you who I was. It was revealed to you from the Spirit. And when he recognized this, he changed his course. He went immediately and told him, he said, hey, I must go to Jerusalem and I'm going to be crucified or killed, but I'll come forth in 3 days. He changed his course after that. Now, brothers and sisters, the thing is He came and was crucified that we could have life. He gave His life that we could have life. And brothers and sisters, this is what you must do today. It's not a popular message. When you try to preserve your life, the Bible says you'll lose it when you try to save your life. When you want to be esteemed of men and things like that, you see, brothers and sisters, according to the scriptures, you are before the fall. When you want recognition and preeminence, just like in the scriptures, when the brother wanted to bring preeminence to himself, he was put out of the church because of preeminence. The only preeminence goes to Christ. And when you come to a place that you should be in God, then when you find God moving and speaking and utilizing you, if it's in preaching, if it's in song, if it's in whatever, you make sure that you stay out of the way from it and say, the glory be to God. The honor be to God. And when you do all those things and you step out of the way, then God will add an increase and raise whatever it is up. But when you get in the way of it and start taking the glory to you as somebody special, somebody great, somebody knowledgeable, somebody spiritual, you've got in the way of God and become the enemy of God, and you will find yourself dried up, and you'll find yourself being tossed to and fro and moved by every wind of doctrine. You see, brothers and sisters, remember who He is. Amen. And just remember that we are nothing outside of Him and can do nothing outside of Him. Okay, let's go back over here. I think it was in verse 7. I'm going to start back at the first part. It says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now the thing is if there is a filthiness in the spirit, that would go over to what we read in Revelations 22, and it says, if you're filthy, you know, be filthy still. If you're unrighteous, be unrighteous still. If you're righteous, be righteous still. That speaking over there is speaking in the spirit. Now the thing is, we know that when it becomes into these spiritual wickednesses and these spiritual perversions, that they are coming out of heaven. You say, well, wait a minute, Brother Rob, those things were cast out. Where were they cast out to? The earth? That's what the brother disputed with me about the other night. Yes, they were cast out of the third heaven. But these spiritual wickednesses, brothers, and things have climbed up back into the second heaven, trying to get back into the third, Satan climbing up another way, trying to get back into the third, and he's manifesting himself in the second heaven. Now, these spiritual wickedness, it's a spirit of evil and wicked and darkness, disputing for you, your body, a dispute for the woman, a dispute for your body, a dispute for manifestation, a dispute for preeminence. The way we get rid of these filthy spirits is they're going to be conquered in the second heaven. Because if they enter back through your soul and climb up into the upper lintels into the third, then you are numbered with Satan and cast out, and you'll never get back in because you come into oneness with Satan. That's where the Bible says your father is the devil. I have a spirit within me crying, Abba, Father, because my father is God. You see, these are these two spirits. And we have to understand these spirits and understand how they manifest and where they're manifesting at and where the authority and where the power is. Verse 2, it says, receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you. That ye are in our hearts to die and live with you. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were come to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God, that comforted those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you. When he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent. Though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle had made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance, for ye were made sorry after godly manner, that you might receive damage by us and nothing. It's a pretty awesome set of scriptures to read after Sunday's message. A 3-hour message of exhortation. This is a perfect reading right here, if you can understand the heart of the brother that was doing something by the leading of God. He's not sorrow for what he said, even though that maybe brings a heaviness or a strength, or would appear to be burdensome to people, but this is what yields forth the righteous fruits, brothers and sisters. Verse 9, it says, now I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance, for ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Rending the veil of that. For behold, this selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. In all things, you have approved yourself to be clear in this matter. That's a beautiful writing, brothers and sisters. This is how we should stand and where we should be. Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for his cause that had done the wrong, nor for his cause that suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. Maybe none of you have never walked in that. Maybe you never felt the strength that this brother having to deal with these kind of things felt. You know, many times when you have to come in with the judgment or the wrath and knowing that you have to do that for clarity in the Spirit, for God could continue to utilize your life. Some people have never walked in a place in the Spirit of God that this chapter would make any sense to them. You realize what I'm saying? But if you come to a place and walking and being led by the Spirit of God, and you'll find that there's many things that you have to do to the obedience of the Spirit of God that would appear. I remember in another place in Paul's writings, he said, I didn't come to bring a weight to you, to make things weighty. But you know, there was things that he knew that he had to say that brought a weightiness to people. Sometimes you can come into a service and you see that the people seem to be somewhat stable. They seem to be okay, but then yet some reproof or strong exhortation comes forth, and then all of a sudden you find that the people draw back. Brother Pike said that it was times that he'd have to offer open rebuke to maybe a family member, and he said the other family members were there and they were okay. But then all of a sudden they had a resistance in their spirit, and they were resisting against the Spirit of God. And now somebody that wasn't having a problem is now out of whack. And he's thinking, like, what have I done? I'm here for the good, to help these others. But now look at this, and it would appear that I've made and created some kind of a problem. Sometimes you could expose things of sin and expose things. And it's like, wow, you know, and then all of a sudden people find themselves shipwrecked in their faith. But brothers and sisters, we got to get established in the mind of God and in the Word of God. And we got to find a place to be just and walk and justified by the Spirit of God and in righteousness. Amen. Since we read that, maybe that was just for me. I got really ministered to, boy, in the singing there tonight. I'll tell you what, man, when we was up here singing, the Spirit of the Lord moved. I was ready to close the service because, man, I said, man, hallelujah, you can't get no better than this, man. There's no need to go any farther, man. I was rejoicing in the Lord, amen, and found encouraging in the Spirit of God. You know, brothers and sisters, I do come with a heavy heart, burdened for your soul, burdened for salvation, burdened for the things when I see people walking in lasciviousness. And it does, it weighs heavy on me. It's tough. And sometimes, you know, you'll look for somebody maybe discerning and want to get on board with you to maybe take a little bit of the burden and strength to be concerned for the lost. When you got brethren that you call brethren that you sit and look at and fellowship, go eat with or talk to that are absolutely in danger of hellfire and it's whoopee, praise God, hallelujah. Can't wait for church to get out. Let's go get something to eat. You know, and I'm thinking, where is the burden for souls and the lost and people that are in deception and being deceived by evil spirits? And sometimes as ministers, you find yourself walking with the weight. Brother Pike said sometimes he felt the weight of the whole world upon his shoulders. And you know, one might say, well, why didn't he step aside and let Jesus take that burden? You see, because he felt the burden that the Lord Jesus felt. And this was the burden of the world that he felt upon his shoulders because he knew that much was given, much was required. And see, we could just live this Christian life in such a lackadaisical way. And this is the average thought of Christianity. You know, it's like the minister that came here from India and said, if your church preaches suffer and run from it. I'm thinking, well, where's he been reading in the Bible at? Equip yourself with this same mind, with the same mind of suffering that Jesus had. He said, if you want to be partakers of this, are you willing to drink of this cup of suffering? He suffered. And we know that we're going to be persecuted and suffer all the day long according to the scriptures. And why do we suffer? Is it we're suffering for our salvation? No. Did he suffer for his salvation? He was salvation. We suffer that other people could see in our life salvation and have a desire for it. I remember sharing with you the man I led to the Lord in California. And what moved him is when he saw persecution come against me. And when he saw all these things coming against me and a man threatened to whip me for my testimony's sake of Christ. And he said that I wasn't moved by that. That moved him to want to know Jesus. He said, this man has something. A man that I shared with you not long back, he talked to me and he said, Brother Rob, he said, I feel like they are mocking me and things when I go to church because I have a disease in my body. And he said, you know, they say, where is your God? Where is this healing God? They did it to Jesus when he was on the cross of Calvary. Hey, great physician, heal thyself. Hey, if you're who you say you are, why don't you call down a host of angels? If you're this God of all creation, and if you are the Messiah, why don't you call down all this strength and all of this power? Why don't you call lightning down and strike these people? Why are you letting them spit on you? Why are you letting them pluck your beard? Why are you letting them beat you like they did if you are who you say that you are? You see, this brother goes to church. Affliction in his body. Where's this great God? Where's this Jesus? Some of brother family done that when he was in the hospital. Hey, where's this great healing God that you've been preaching about? You've laid hands on people all over the world and they're healed. Where's he at? And he rebuked them. He said, don't come to me with that. Don't you come to me, he told them. And rebuked them and said, get out of my presence if this is the way you're going to think. I told that brother, I said, let me tell you something. I said, your family has watched you in health and prosperity. God's raised you up in business. God has kept you separated from the world and kept you clean. And you've showed this to your family all the way through. And they see you rejoicing and praising God as children, many of them outside of church. And I think now they're going to get to see you praise God and rejoice his name in suffering. And I said, that'll move your family to salvation. What would happen if he cursed God? When these things come, they say, oh, he never had him. Where is this great God? But when they see him rejoicing and praising God in the afflictions and in the suffering, they say, there's something. This brother's got a hold of something. You see, let the Lord have his way. Are you willing to suffer for salvation, for others' salvation? Are you willing to be persecuted all the days long for others could find Jesus Christ? So many of you say, I want to be a soul winner. I want to lead somebody into the kingdom of God. And God starts setting things up for it could happen. And then you walk in the flesh. Soul winners don't walk in the flesh. You realize that? They walk in the Spirit. And the reason they walk in the Spirit is because that's what people are looking to. That's what we want to come to, a spiritual life and a spirit walk. So God prepares one to get in your face, to curse you, to take advantage of you, to cheat you, for you could look at him and say, I love you, it's all right. They think, wow, that's not like Noah, man. And God sets all these things up for you can win a soul, and then you turn and curse and you cuss and you get angry and you call them names and do all those things, and you're no different than them. And you think you'll ever win a soul into the things of God? With all the filth and the malice and all the envy and the strife and the pressing for the worldly things, and you're more concerned about your dollar than a soul? How are you ever going to win a soul? I'll spend thousands of dollars to go maybe preach somewhere or to go preach the gospel or something, and you'll take a chance of losing a soul over $10. Rise up in your spirit. I'm going to let nobody do that to me. And when it was all prepared from the Lord, that he could show long suffering. God will allow the banker to make a mistake, allow the cashier to make a mistake, that they can make a mistake, and he'll allow the mistake to happen, that you can make a gain of $50, $100, $1,000. For you could go back and say, here, you've made a mistake. For you could show the glory and the testify of God, but you think, oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God's blessing me. You wicked individual. A man that walks out of a grocery store knowing that they gave him too much money or a bank and doesn't take it back in is a heathen. Oh, come on, Brother Rob. You know, God, you know, he's going to rain it down to us. Those people are unjust and he's just raining it down to us. No, he was giving you an opportunity to show Christ. He was giving you an opportunity to show God. Robert shared a story about a heathen, and he went off, and Robert said, you can't do that. They made a mistake on his Home Depot ticket. Robert said, he exhorted him, said, man, you can't do that. He said, hey, it's their mistake, man, or whatever. They charged him for 10-foot boards instead of 16-foot or whatever, thought he made some. Man, they ran out of gas. They didn't get to the job, this, that, and finally the guy took the stuff back. Started saying, man, this ain't worth it. Let me take it back. Let me pull that wood off the wall, man. I'm sending it back. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. There is things that are happening. If you are a spiritual individual and are concerned for souls, you're going to see things happening all around about you. I remember ministering to you not long back, and I said, the Word of God is taken to their advantage, not to yours. When you're looking to use the Word for your advantage, you don't have the Word. Jesus didn't use the Word for his advantage. He didn't say, look, I'm God, shut your mouth. Look, I'm God, come do for me. He used it for their advantage. He was persecuted for their advantage. He was beaten for their iniquities. You see, and the thing is, brothers and sisters, you're so skilled in the Bible to use it against everybody else. That's not the revealing of Christ. That's not the revelation of the Lord. The thing is what you do is you apply the Word of God to them. You apply the Word of God to your life and the perspective to their advantage. Why do they use you? For they could see Christ. So many times people in carnality, their mind is taken to the will of Satan. And God's trying to win them out of carnality, and Satan is trying to keep them in it. And Satan will rise up into their mind and come against you and be learning to know what kind of buttons to push in your life and knowing how he could do things to you, for that man could see that you ain't no different than he is. And you totally lose your testimony. When you act like they act, you ain't no different than them. How are you going to win them? But when they see you humble yourself, when they see you swear to your own hurt and suffer the wrong, and when they see you do good to them that are despitefully using you, when you turn the other cheek, then they say, you know what? There's something different. And they get under conviction. And they're moved. I can remember sharing a story with you when a man, he was provoking me and doing everything he could to make me fight. And boy, it was all over me too. If there was anybody that ever wanted to whoop somebody, I was wanting to whoop that man. I mean, I would have had a heyday with him. I tell you what, I had so much things in my spirit. Man, that devil rose up in me so big. But that man, I went to counsel. I was a young Christian. That guy said, you have to whip this thing because it's going to get worse. And I said, it can't get no worse than this. And here's this guy pressing me and doing all this stuff. And I was wanting to whoop him, I guess is about the only way I could say it. But when I went for counsel, this brother in the Lord says, you've got to conquer this thing, because it'll do nothing but get worse. I'm talking about when I first got saved, brothers and sisters. But there was something I had to overcome. It was anger, a temper. I had to overcome it. So here I am out here trying to win souls. I was bringing people to revival meetings and to church, and there was three men on the job that I was on that accepted Jesus and started going to church. When I failed, let me tell you something. I got the best of a guy, and I whooped him up pretty good. I go up on the drilling rig floor, and the drilling chain gets around and comes around, hits me right in the head, knocked me slap out. They talk about seeing stars. I didn't see nothing. I mean to tell you, who's bigger? God's going to say, you hard-headed thing, I'll show you. Took a drilling chain and come around, knocked me slap unconscious. I came to, they rushed me to a hospital. I'll tell you what, you might think that you're bad, or you might think you can carry your weight and stuff like that, not against God. Oh, surely God won't do that. He would rather you suffer in your flesh and cease from sin as go on into hell with your anger and your arrogance, and you roll in a wheelchair into the kingdom of God as go there with all your strength and masculinity and bust hell wide open. If your hand offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. I'm just talking about what the Bible says. So, you know, I thought about those things and I got in another fight. But this was the devil trying to ruin my testimony. I was zealous. I love the Lord. I'm sharing about Jesus with everybody. And this guys were in the oil field, a bunch of roughnecks, partying, doping, and heathens. Man, they knew how to push buttons. And then I found out I've got to conquer this thing. So then I got the job I got hurt on. The day you get hurt, I mean, they don't even have your blood swept up off the floor, and they'll have another man replacing you. That's the way it was in the oil field. There were guys standing in line for them jobs. They were good paying jobs, and there would be somebody right there. No matter how faithful you was, how loyal you was, you missed a day of work, you called in sick, there was somebody else there. That's just the way it worked there. You didn't miss work. You might be out there on the rig floor puking your guts out, but you was on your job. Or otherwise, somebody else had it. I got knocked out. They had another guy on my job. It wasn't a chance to come back. I went over and got a job on another rig. Guess what I did on that rig? Same thing. I'm out there rolling in the gravel with a guy. Boy, I'm a soul winner. Why am I sharing these things with you, brothers and sisters? Because, see, I didn't understand what a soul winner was. Even though I was doing it through the zeal and Lord was winking on some of my ignorance, I was only saved for about a year. You know, but I love the Lord. I think everybody needed Jesus. I was thankful He saved me. I wasn't drinking and smoking and doing those things. It didn't take too many weeks or days that I got away from filthy language. I didn't have a bunch of filth coming out of my mouth, but there was something else that God was dealing with me. Maybe I overcame the alcohol tread. Then maybe I went up the next stairway. Maybe I overcame, you could say, tobacco or smoking pot or whatever it is. But then I came up to one that was a tough one for me. And it was anger and temper, explosive. That was a tough one. It was tough when I got smacked upside the head with a drilling chain too. So I get on this next job and I'm thinking, I've got to conquer this thing. The Lord's dealing with me. I went to counsel. They said, this is what you got to do. I go on the job. I've shared this with you. The man mocked me. I'd get my job done and he'd make me go do somebody else's job. He was my boss. They had what they called a driller on every tower. And man, he would insult me and say things. He would insult me, and I'm thinking like, boy, this guy doesn't know the idiot that was on the job that just got hurt on the last job, man, because he would have done took this dude's head off. But see, that guy's supposed to die. This guy was, you know, wooing this guy back in a resurrection. This guy was calling forth the resurrection of Rob Coons. And I'm praying, saying, God, let's kill him. A preacher told me, he said, look, have a funeral for that guy, man. Throw some flowers on his grave and be done with him. And boy, this guy's doing everything he could to resurrect this guy. He's calling him forth, man. And boy, I tell you what, he was ready to come out in power of the flesh. So then I'm dealing with this, and I'm dealing with thoughts, and I'm warring with these things. And then here comes all these other guys on this job saying, hey, Rob, what you taking that kind of stuff for? Man, you need to whoop that guy. Now, I really needed them encouragers, didn't I? And this is the way they're coming to me. Man, this is what you need to do. I wasn't a very big guy. Still not. But I didn't talk about, man, if you don't shut your mouth, I'm going to whip you. Man, all of a sudden, I was just all over a guy. But I'm sharing with you, brothers and sisters, things that we deal with as Christian people. I was young in the Lord, and this was something that was between me and God. This was, I was not going to progress any farther on going and pressing my way into the kingdom of God and the things of God. He put this thing before me and said, you're going to conquer this. He didn't tell me it was easy. And my counsel, that I'll go to counsel, said it's going to do nothing but get worse. This is why I tell some of you when you fail and you come to me as a pastor, I say, well, look, okay, you've repented. You said, God, have mercy on me. God, forgive me. Okay, great. But I said, you're going to ride the trail again. It's going to come around again. You are a conqueror, and you're more than a conqueror, and whatever it is you fell at, it's going to come around and be right in your face again, and it might be a different guy, it might be a different woman, whatever it is, it's going to be right back around in your face again, and you better get determined that you're going to conquer it, because it gets tougher, and it will consume you. Now the thing is, I've made up my mind I was going to get through this thing, and I shared this with you, I would almost bet you that that man is a Christian today, because of the misery of about 2 weeks to 3 weeks that man put me through. And man, he was persecuting me, mocking me, making fun of me, and saying all those things. And I'm telling you, God knows that I've never been had to deal with those kind of things, ever. Because I took it into my own hands. I wouldn't, he ain't talking to me that way. That's the way I was. And the thing is I suffered and was persecuted. The guy almost took my arm off. I was 125 feet up on the rail of a derrick, and I was choking off a big pipe that we had to bring down. And I'm hanging over, and the guy is running the cable. It was an air hoist. And I was up there, and they had what they called an angel lift. And it was something you put a harness around you, and it's got a weight coming down the other side. And when that guy about took my arm off, I came off of that derrick, and I got on that ladder, and you could drop about 100 and some feet in about 10 seconds. And I'm dropping straight down. I was going to kill him. And guess who talked to me? That 10-second drop was like an eternity of talk with the Lord. Are you going to blow everything now? And I finally got a hold of my spirit. The man, Bible said, if a man can't control his spirit, he's like a city with a broken down wall. And if I wouldn't have pulled control of my spirit by the time I got to that floor, all these spirits would have come in me and I might have killed the man. And I might have been sitting in prison for many years for doing it. Because that's what was in my heart. The guy didn't like me because he didn't like Christ. And he was under persecution because he didn't like Christ. The Bible said they'll hate you with no reason. And he hated me with no reason. And he was persecuting me for no reason. But God had prepared his heart to do that, for Rob Coots could conquer his enemy. And that was me. See, I could make that man wretched and evil and no good. But that man's heart was prepared from God for Brother Rob Coots could deal with his problem, which was the guy he looked at in the mirror. It wasn't his boss. And when I conquered that, brothers and sisters, I grew in the grace and knowledge in God and knew that there was something that I could have coming forth from my innermost being that can overpower and overcome. That was some of the greatest lessons that I'd ever learned in my life. That was a great victory to me when I went to that man when this rig was rigged down. When they would complete and they get to a TD or where they rig a rig down and they might not go drill nowhere else. You might have to go get another job. But when that rig, I could have walked off. People said, why don't you just quit the job? Why don't you walk off? No, Lord had me there to be persecuted. And guess what other people saw? They saw Christ. But when I went to that man, it was so wretched and so terrible to me. And I walked up to him. I put my hand out. I said, thank you for the job. I really needed it. I'm telling you, God knows. I looked that man right in the eye. And he was doing everything he could to fight from breaking down and crying. Because he knew that he had allowed the devil to use him. And I conquered something in my life. Did it come back? Yes, it came back many times. But I kept conquering. The Bible said, draw nigh unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee. And if I wouldn't have drawn nigh unto the Lord and kept resisting, he never would have fled. And he did flee because I drawed nigh unto the Lord. So what are we talking about? Anger? Yes. What are we talking about? Temper? Yes. What are we talking about? Lust? Yes. What are we talking about? Evil surmising? Yes. What are we talking about, brothers and sisters? Strife, discord. All of those things are spirits. You might have control over temper. You might have control over anger and say, man, you weak individual. And then you turn around and are so weak. One man will look at another man and say, well, you wretched, no good thing. Man, you smoke, you're no good. And the other guy's eating somebody else alive in their mind. Sowing strife and discord in the brotherhood. And sowing envy and all those things. And thinks he's better than the other guy because he's got conquering over tobacco. And he thinks he's better than the other guy. Or he thinks he's better than this guy because he's faithful to church and give. And this guy don't give. And this one's eat up with lust. You see, they're all spirits, brothers and sisters. And these all are things that we've got to conquer and overcome. You see, the Bible talks about the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, I want the spirit of revelation. What must we do? Pray that God would grant unto you the spirit of revelation is what the Bible says. Okay, well, I say, okay, Lord God, I want the revelation. I want you to grant unto me the spirit of revelation. And the Bible says that the revelation cannot come or the revealing of Christ cannot come until what? The son of perdition is revealed. That's what God sent that man for. That driller I was dealing with, he sent him for the son of perdition could come forth and I could kill him. Crucified all the day long. Who done it? Who carried Jesus down there? He took himself to the Garden of Gethsemane, didn't he? He took himself there. Why did he take himself there? Because he knew that's where they were going to meet him at. He didn't run from it. He was preparing them to tell them, say, look, this is what's going to happen. Oh man, but I'm not going to do that. Brothers and sisters, there's many times that you will take and you'll remove yourself from an area of persecution and tribulation because you don't want to endure it. But the Bible commands us and teaches us to endure the cross, to pray and equip ourselves with a mind of suffering. And we get a little bit of persecution, a little bit of tribulation, and we get away or we do this, that. And God's just putting you in a place that you can win a soul. He'll lift you up to draw all men unto him. Where's he going to lift you up at? Onto the cross. What if Jesus wasn't there on the cross? The Roman centurion never would have said, surely this is God. So when these things are happening in your life, you want to be a soul winner. You want to have more of Jesus. You want to do something for God. And then all these things will start setting up to you that you could do something to satisfy the drawing in your heart. And then because of your ignorance and because of your temper, because of your anger and wrath that's girded up all inside of you and the bitterness and things, then you fail. And you have nothing as a reward. Brothers and sisters, if you want to be a soul winner, then you got to gird your loins up and be a man of God. You know, you think like, well, you know, man, I'm masculine, I'm tough, I'll fight them and I'll do that. That's the sissy way out. What I did was a lot tougher to do than it was to fight. I fought with friends, I fought with people. I remember when I started recognizing the spirit of inheritance that I had, and I started having to conquer it, and then about the time I'm conquering, I see it coming alive in my son, and it grieved my spirit, thinking, well, he's got to do the same thing. I can't do it for him. He's got to do the very same thing. He's got to overcome the very same thing. I tell children all the time, I could tell my son this, the very things you hated about your own dad are the very things that you'll deal with in your own life. The things you hate about mom are the very things you're going to have to deal with in your life. The things you hate about this brother or that you're going to be dealing with in your life. The only reason God showed it to you in your life for you could get and look in the mirror and see it in your own. You know, I find something from observation. When I find brethren that dislike each other a whole lot, you know what I find? They're usually a whole lot in common. You realize that? There's a whole lot of things in common in them too. When they just seem like they're chiding and busting heads all the time, it's usually because there's something in common there. And God's showing them something in their own life is what he's doing. Where are you at in Christ? What is God doing in your life? Are we at ever any time in any place that God isn't trying to use our life? I mean, do we have this kind of this little make-believe religious world that, oh, you know, hey, I'm in church now, you know, hey, I'm a Christian now, but now I'm an employee. Now I'm an employer. Now I'm a worker. You know, hey, the church thing ain't today. I've got this to do. Where is that in Christianity? Where does that fall into any realms of Christianity? We're to give our life as a living sacrifice. That's our reasonable service. We're to surrender all to him and give him everything. If you try to keep your business and be a businessman and run your business, you ain't worthy of God. If you want to keep your wife and have your wife, you ain't worthy of God. If you love him more, if you love your business more, if you love your finances more, if you love your wife more, if you love your children more, you ain't worthy of God. We need to give him everything, 100% surrender all to him. And you'll never go nowhere unless you do that. When you want to control your life, you ain't got life. The only control that you need to have of your life is take it to Gethsemane. That's the only control you need of your life, and you need to take it there, and you need to get before the Lord and surrender it over. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, I could share things that I've walked through, things that I've been through, but what about you? I share these things. How many times have you failed the very same things that I'm speaking about? Well, I never had to deal with anger. I use that as an example. Do you think that some of the problems in your life are because maybe you didn't have a fiery temper that makes you better. There's people that hold things up and they're explosive. There's so many things, brothers and sisters, and they're all spirits. I could take you over to Galatians 5 and we could start reading and talking about them. We could talk about all these spirits. You'll walk in such a self-righteousness and think you're so godly and so great and you got everything worked out with God, and then turn around into evil surmising and wear your mind out. Your mind just run like a top. Evil surmising against this one, and hatred and bitterness. Oh, but you got control of your spirit in the perspective of anger. Boy, you're not going to fly up at nobody. You're not going to yell at nobody. You're not going to curse nobody. Oh, you got anger under control. But what about some of these other things? What about your thoughts? Are they in order? Sometimes people are moved so much by jealousies. They envy one another. I've heard people in Christianity, and I've heard them in their prayer lives. You ask them to pray and you hear these things coming forth from their prayer life thinking, wow. Challenging God. People get mad at God. Where are you at, God? How come you bless this brother? Why aren't you blessing me? I've done this, I've done that. He'll never bless you when you think like that. When you start being encouraged, say, man, praise God. Look at God blessing my brother. Look at him blessing him. And look at the things that are happening in his life. Praise God. You know, God's on the throne. He's blessing. And all of a sudden, you've made yourself a candidate. But when you've got jealousy and envy of that, well, why aren't you doing that for me, God? You'll never go nowhere. You'll never ever see it. God won't allow it to come to you. You've shut it up in the heavens. You remember that message? You've closed up the heavens. Command him. You could command God. You could command him to release forgiveness to you when you need forgiveness. And the way you command him is by you releasing forgiveness for others. If you can't, it won't come. That's the way God works. So many times we tie the hands of God in our life. You can't tie God's hands from blessing me, but you could tie his hands from blessing you. Brothers and sisters, we have to understand the things of the Spirit. We got to start watching the things of the Spirit. Again, as I said, if a man cannot control anger in his life, he's like a city with a broken down wall. Now, he uses anger for an example. But then yet there's so many other spirits that are so much the same that'll rob you of the blessings of God. And you'll close God up from blessing you because of the things of the allowances that you make. What's on the stair tread before you right now, if you was to look? What is on that tread? And how long's it been since you've progressed in the grace and knowledge of God? Are you stagnant? Are you stalled? Have you not grown? You know what happens when a child quits growing in its mind? They call it retarded. And you might have a child that's 18 years old. They say, well, he's got a mind of an 8-year-old. He might be 40 years old. You say he's got a mind of an 8-year-old. You say it's a mental retardation. But you know, sometimes, brother, sister, please understand what I'm saying. In the spirit, there is no spirit retardation, we could say. But in the soul realm, there is. And it's the saving of the soul. In the spirit, we find perfection. We find joy, peace. We find all of these things have already been conquered and put out of there. This is what we find in the Spirit. Are we walking in the Spirit? Are we led by the Spirit? Are we bringing a manifestation of the Spirit? Is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ used some kind of a retention of some kind of a mystery? Oh, I understand what the mystery of iniquity is. I understand the mystery of godliness. I understand the mystery that Paul spoke about when the man and woman marry, they become one in the flesh. That's not the revelation, brothers and sisters. Mysteries are revealed to you when you come to revelation, yes. But understanding mysteries is not the revelation. The revelation is exactly what it says it is. It's very simple. It's the revealing of Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's so simple. We make it something that's so ungraspable, something that is so far out there that we'll never get a hold of it. And that's why you won't, because you've put it off so far. And all it is bringing God alive in your life and letting him be revealed and you quit being revealed. You reveal the son of perdition of your first birth, of your thoughts, your ideas, your ideology, your ways, your anger, your temper, your lust, your wickedness, your evil surmising, your jealousy, and you bring it to an expose, the son of perdition, and you say, God, I'm sick of that guy. I don't like him, and I'm tired of him taking and ruining my life. And I'm going to take and get rid of him. I'm going to mortify. I'm going to take up my cross daily, and I'm going to press my way into the kingdom of God, press my way into the things of God, and I'm going to bring Jesus Christ revealed. I'm going to bring him alive, the manifestation of the sons of God, and I'm going to bring him alive, and he's going to use my life. You see, now you're a soul winner. So how are they going to know that it's not you and it's Jesus? By your suffering, by your persecution, by tribulation. If that's the way they knew him, hey, when everything's going fine and you come up and say, hey, Brother Rob, I love you. Oh, I love you too. Man, what is that? You ain't no different than any other man. Hey, Brother Rob, here's $50. Oh, here's $100. Oh, man. Boy, this is what makes everything go round. Hey, let me scratch your back and you scratch mine a little bit. Man, you're just a man. You know, you got all these worldly sayings. You're not going to do good to them because they're lazy or they're this and that. You know, that's what God came to do, to show the love to. And we do that, brothers and sisters. We have to do that. We got to get out of our worldly mind. And we got to start finding the mind of God and find out who He's dealing with. And it's going to be you, first and utmost, that He could draw others. How do you think God draws? You tell me. Oh, no man comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws. And God tries to draw men by using your life. And He tries to draw men unto Him. And then He sets everything up and puts it into play. I said this to you not long back. He used Moses. Nobody can doubt that. Oh boy, praise God, He used Moses. Man, such an awesome brother. Such a mighty man. Boy, the great I Am. He used him. Moses, here's what I want you to do, brother. I want you to go over to Egypt and get those people out of there. Moses says, me? But you know, I'm not good in speech. You know, man, I've got these problems. Man, I can't do that. Grieved God. It grieved Him. So He raised up Aaron to help Him. But it grieved God because he questioned God and the abilities that God could have gave him. But at the same time, when you said, Moses, go do that, he was over there hardening Pharaoh's heart. Don't let him go. Moses, go get him and get him out. And he goes over to Pharaoh. Don't let him go. Hardened his heart. Why? If Pharaoh would have just said, okay, y'all go ahead and go, and they just would have walked out of there, would God have got any glory at all? So no, God hardened his heart. He hardened Pharaoh's heart and said, don't let him go. Why? For we could see the power of God. So why does God send these people with a hard heart to get in your face? For you could see the power of God. Why does God put the guy driving 25 mile an hour in front of you in a 45? For you could practice your cusser? Boy, I got some of you there. Boy, I've seen a bunch of heads drop on that one. Lord, help us. You know, back in the same time that I was going through these anger in the oil field, going through these things and learning to overcome some things, I was with a guy riding with me in my car. Same time. I remember where I lived. I remember the guy with me. This guy was a heathen, and we're riding along, and I'm in traffic. And he goes, you know what? I've never heard anybody get cussed out without using a bad word until I rode in this car with you. I remember that. And I remember it was the chastening of the Lord. It was God dealing with me, speaking through a heathen. And the guy said, I've never seen anybody cussed out without using a bad word. I just, you know, I thought, man, I'm really an overcomer, man. I've conquered this bad language and stuff. And I just replaced all them words with something else. But it was still that same old anger, that same old temper, that same old thing just rising up. And I was just, all I did was make it religious now. You understand that? I just made it religious. I'm not going to slap him with a ball bat. I'm going to hit him with a pillow and feel better about it. Brothers and sisters, we have to deal with these things in our life. And we can start conquering them and overcoming those things. What is it? What is it in your life? What is God dealing with you about? What is the thing that if you're growing in the grace and knowledge of God that He's dealing with you? Are you already come to such a place that you don't have these things in your life? Husbands and wives, have you already got everything all worked out? You know, are you treating each other with a godliness and with a kind heart? Have you practiced turning away wrath and anger by shutting your mouth? Have you tried that? Oh, but I tried it. It didn't work. No, start sowing it and it will reap. You know, this is what happens in the principles of God. You'll try them one time and you don't see the fruit pop right up, but you already see the fruit of the things that you've been sowing for years. And it just keeps cropping up and you got all this harvest and you see it all around about you. But you see, when you're going to come to the things of God, you got to start sowing those things and walking in those things and practicing those things and bringing them to a revelation, a revealing. And then all of a sudden it'll be a manifestation. Some of the things that we do it through will worship. And then all of a sudden we keep willing and willing, and pretty soon it becomes part of you. And it becomes, it's not a practice thing. It is part of you. I remember using flying as an example. I can remember Dad teaching me to fly or to have other flight instructors. And boy, they'd be trying to drill something in your head. You go through a maneuver and they'd say, back pressure, right rudder, or this or that, or whatever it is. And man, it's like they're drilling and drilling. And one day it's automatic. You don't think about it. When you're driving down the road in your car, do you say, take the foot off the gas and take it on the brake? Just automatic, isn't it? When you're running a backhoe, you know, you got these levers here and you think, well, this one pulls the bucket back, this one swings it, this one pushes it out. You don't even think about it. You're just sitting there and moving and watching the thing do the job after it becomes part of you. It's, you got into that mind. And see, when you get into the mind of God, there'll be some things that you're going to have to exercise, godliness and holiness and virtue and righteousness. And then pretty soon it becomes part of you. It's not an exercise. It's not a will worship. It becomes part of you. And then it's the revealing of Christ because you've mortified the other one out. You killed it out. Yes, it's an effort at first. Yes, it's a challenge to kill him. But once you do and let the other live, then it's part of your life. That's the only way you'll walk in the Spirit of God. See, what happens is you'll look at the spirit life and you want the spirit life. You want the blessings of the spirit. You want the prosperity of the spirit. You want the eternity of the spirit. And then you look over at the natural things and you like the way it makes you feel. There's temporal things in the flesh that make you feel good. And people feed that continually. They like to feel good. They like to feel smart. They like to feel strong. They like to feel powerful. They like to be better. And the world goes around that way. They call it competition. And it makes this whole world go around. And they learn to captivate it, so to speak, and market it. Lust is marketed. They can't sell a car without stripping a woman off. It's marketed. You see, and they do all the things that are relative to your flesh. All those things. And they'll keep moving you by the flesh. And you got to wake up and get wise to those things and overcome it. You got to deal with it. Brothers and sisters, we could talk about, I testify to you about anger. I could testify about so many things to you that I've had to overcome. And you have to overcome. That was one of the toughest things in my life. What is it in yours? Is it lust, envy, jealousy? What is it? Oh, I don't have none of those problems. Well, let's get you down here and work on the lying devil you got. Oh, but I'm an overcomer, Brother Rob. Man, I don't have no problems. Well, I agree. Sons of God ain't got no problems. It's flesh guy I'm talking to right now. It keeps on raising up its head. Why are you given to change if you're so spiritual? You know, when you're spiritual, you're not given to change. But why are you given to change if you're spiritual? If you think you are who you think you are and that you are this great child of God, then why are you given to change? You see, a man should be the same every time you see him. You realize that? A man needs to be the same. When you see a man that's down, depressed, or angry, or this and that, he's given up and down like that, the man's got a problem. Got to deal with them. I got to deal with them. I got to deal with spirits. They come knocking on my door continually. I remember a man came to Brother George, and he said, Brother George, he said, and he was talking about a problem. He said, do you deal with that problem? He says, take your problem, multiply it by 150. And he said, then you'll know what I deal with. And you think, my God, are you that bad? Are you that wretched in your mind? No, them spirits, because he had conquered those things, they're coming with a lot bigger. Some of you, it just takes a little sissy devil to come along and whisper in your ear, and you're just off with him. I'm telling you, you yield right to him. Oh, yeah, man, I like that. Little devil blows in your ear, and you're melted and gone. But then yet, when you've conquered and conquered, there's going to be bigger spirits and bigger things that come. And they're going to come at you and try to cause you to fall. He came to kill, steal, and destroy. I don't know why I felt like I was supposed to read over here in 10. Let's do that. I'm going to be obedient to the Lord. We're going to close. I know it's getting kind of late. I'm going to read right here in 2 Corinthians 10 real quick. It says, now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. If Paul doesn't always rend the veil between the man and the spirit. It says, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God by the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience, when your obedience is fulfilled, do you look on the things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech is contemptible. Let such an one think this, that such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measure themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. I'm going to read that again because that's a revelation that many people need to come to. For we dare not to make ourselves of the number. Brother George and I was talking about this very thing last night. Somehow we read it. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with the some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But we will not boast of the things without our measure. It's a great revelation right there. I had to come to that myself, even as a minister. But according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, our measure to reach even unto you. For we strength not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. Not boasting of the things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. That's a beautiful passage of scriptures. But he that glorifieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. I love y'all and appreciate you. Let's stand together. There's a lot of wonderful things in God's Word that needs to come alive to us. We need to comprehend the heights, depths, widths, and lengths of God's Word. But more than that, what we need to do is apply whatever measure God has given each and every one of us. We got to learn to apply that in our life. Sometimes we're not satisfied with the measure that God has given unto us, and we want to go beyond that measure. When we want to go beyond that measure, guess what happens? We find ourselves in the flesh, and we find ourselves falling flat on our face, and we find ourselves being exposed. You'll find yourself in a place that all of a sudden it's like, God, how did I get here, and where's God at? And he'll depart from you purposely and leave you standing there in the weakness of your own flesh. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. When Brother Paul said, I didn't come to you with a superior wisdom or an eloquence of speech, but he said, I came in a humility and also with just the knowledge of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Let me tell you, that's an awesome thing. To just stay within the measures of Jesus Christ and him crucified without getting into the mysteries and all of those things, that's an awesome place to be. You know what I'm saying? And God could move in that, and he could speak in that, and souls could be won. I didn't have no great measure of Christ when I was sharing the things that I'm talking to you about. But even though with the problems I had and overcoming some of the things in my own life, I was still leading people to the Lord. And myself was one of them by having to overcome the things in my own life. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we want to be soul winners. And God is wanting to use you as a soul winner. But what he's doing is winning your soul that others could see your soul won and desire what you have that they could be partakers with you in it. Amen.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the Brothers and Sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.